This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Science and historical memorabilia that describes the human and environmental impact of the Hanford Nuclear Reservation.
Particles on the wall.
May 3rd through June 14th, second floor gallery in the EcoTrust building.
Particles on the wall.
Co-sponsored by Oregon Physicians for Social Responsibility and KBOO Community Radio.
Particles on the wall.
Information can be found online at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the page under Community Events.
Native Americans account for less than 2% of Oregon's population, yet we make up greater than 4% of its prison population. I'm Trish Jordan of Red Lodge Transition Services. We began our work in Oregon prisons advocating for religious freedom and human rights. Join me on Prison Pipeline June 10th to hear how Red Lodge helps Native American women rebuild their lives after incarceration, often helping them reconnect to Native spirituality and culture. That's Prison Pipeline June 10th at 6:30 p.m.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, June 5th, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Governor Kitzhaber is still building his bridge to nowhere. Support seems to be rapidly falling away, leaving the bridge lower and lower and closer to being, in fact, underwater. Bradley Manning's court-martial plows ahead, and Kevin Gostola with Fire Dog Lake joins us with his report from the courtroom. If you go to Fire Dog Lake, it's a blow-by-blow account of what's happening there, and it makes for some absolutely extraordinary reading. Susan Rice is a replacement in a proxy war for what the GOP hates most about Obama's foreign policies. That's right. Susan Rice of Benghazi fame as Obama's national security advisor. First this, though, from the National Weather Service. Today, mostly sunny, highs 80 to 85, northwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, lows around 55, could be cooler in outlying areas, and a windy evening. Northwest winds 10 to 15, dropping off light later in the night for tomorrow morning. Areas of morning cloud clearing and leaving behind sunny afternoon, high 75 to 80, and breezy 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, overcast skies, lows around 55, and a bit windy again, to up to, say, 15 miles per hour. Our alternative forecast, we have a waning crescent fruit moon in Aries. The moon is 26 days old, and everything is pretty much holding steady. The synodic forecast, not a good time for sowing anything, they say, because of the, of course, the waning moon. Good time for weeding, harvesting, composting. Biodynamicists say that with the moon in Aries, it's a fire sign, so go for fruiting plants, trees, you know, even in the town, even in the city, you can grow trees. The sidereal Outlook, Moon in Aries, dry and barren, good time for maintenance. And that's it for the alternative forecast as well as the conventional forecast. Moving right along into news from around Cascadia, we actually have a story that just barely came in. Cascade Forest Defenders, of course, they've commandeered a billboard and they're launching a campaign to protect the ONC lands. This is, of course, the Oregon-California lands. A lot of history there. This, though, action happened last night. And as always, Cascadia Forest Defenders making their own history. Under the cover of darkness, a stealthy and vigilant crew converted a billboard on the side of I-5 in Eugene to read ONC Trust, making yesterday's ecocidal mistakes again. This billboard was repurposed in the name of Forest Defense in order to spread the word about the growing threat to 2.6 million acres of forest land in western Oregon. That's the Oregon and California railroad lands that crossing 18 western counties in Oregon. The lands have been managed by the Bureau of Land Management since 1937. We're going to be speaking with Ben Jones with Cascadia Forest Defenders in just a moment about this action. Interestingly enough, the ONC lands have been in mainstream news in the way that these sort of stories are often covered by mainstream media. And the activist community is just getting up to speed on this, and of course, Cascadia Forest Defenders leading the charge. We're speaking with Ben Jones this morning. Good morning, Ben.
How you doing?
Good. Oh, we're well, thanks. And we wish that we could say the same for the last of Oregon's, last of Cascadia's forests. This is great news, and from my perspective. Can you tell us a little bit more about what occurred and how you are going to build a resistance to logging on this huge, vast stretch of forest?
Well, thanks for having us on the show. What happened this morning was this billboard, which is visible on the side of I-5 just south of Eugene. As you already said, we covered up the McDonald's logo, and it now reads ONC Trust, making yesterday's ecocidal mistakes again. And this is in reference to how most of the proposals for the ONC land are reminiscent of the time before the Northwest Forest Plan, reminiscent of the time before we had these laws like NEPA that have made it able for citizens to be involved in public process, that most of the proposals by our politicians involve privatizing large amounts of this land and saving very small amounts of it for conservation. And once this land becomes privatized, it gets out of the public's hands. There's no way not only to see the devastation that caused, but there's no way to know about it. There's no way to appeal. And so as far as building what needs to happen, at this point, it's just proposals. So it's tough to say exactly, but we need to make sure that Oregonians realize that this is the biggest thing to happen in policy management since the Northwest Forest Plan.
It's a huge amount of land. Take note, listeners, DeFazio, Walden, and Schrader are sponsoring this bill that hands over 1.6 million acres, 1.6 million acres of federally managed forest to the state of Oregon to be managed by, get this, a trust of private timber campaigns. The remaining million acres would be handed over to the Forest Service, not exactly a trustworthy broker. Can you let listeners know how to follow up on the story and pick up a few more details and plan what actions are to be taken and how we can stand in solidarity with you in protecting these lands?
Absolutely. Thanks for asking that. Well, one thing is keep posted with Cascadia Forest Defenders. ForestDefenseNow.com is our website. This was sort of our commencement action, just sort of like a way to say that this is something that we are working on, as well as something that citizens should be keeping their eyes on. So keep tabs with us, as well as one thing right now is Wyden has come out with his framework for his proposal for the ONC lands, but he doesn't actually have a plan yet. And once Wyden comes out with his plan, we'll see sort of the last the last of, we'll see all of our options, I guess, at that point. And from there, we'll be able to see if anyone's proposing any plan that has any sort of conservation mentality. And from there, we'll be able to start talking about all the things we don't like about these plans, because so far it's looking like they're trying to get out the cut while making sure that environmentalists aren't too mad. Basically, get out the cut while greenwashing the rest is how we're seeing it so far.
Exactly. And we always remember, of course, that a managed forest is a tree farm. Thanks so much for that. I've been speaking with Ben Jones with Cascadia Forest Defenders, and we'll be continuing to follow this story. Thanks once again. We're going to turn now. We have stories from all over Cascadia, Columbia River Crossing. We have we have news of Kitsaba signing foreclosure mediation expansion. And at the moment, however, Bradley Manning's court-martial is in progress. Kevin Gostola with Fire Dog Lake has been there in the courtroom, and he you reading on Fire Dog Lake a blow-by-blow account of what exactly is happening. It is definitely a cliffhanger. It's an extraordinary trial. It really is indeed a drama, and it is history. Good morning, Kevin. Thank you very much for being with us this morning.
And hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the what you're writing in Fire Dog Lake. It's just extraordinary, and every day I wait the next a few passages. Thank you again for what you're doing. There's so much to cover here. I understand that the defense's cross-examination of Adrian Lamo has been very interesting. Can you talk a bit about the cross-examination and Lamo's role in this court-martial?
It actually wasn't much to write about in comparison to what we heard back in December 2011 when they had an earlier hearing. He only talked very limited about the chat logs, but Lamo is a person for your listeners quickly. He turned Bradley Manning into the federal authorities. He's the informant, government informant that was working. He's a convicted felon. He's a hacker who had hacked into multiple systems in the 2000s. And so this person was on the stand yesterday and was sharing some of his insights into how he handed over his own laptop computers to examiners who were doing an investigation so that they could look at the evidence and start to process it for Bradley Manning's prosecution.
So what Bradley Manning's, his lead defense attorney, David Coombs, you write, appeared particularly interested in asking Lamo about what Manning had told him during conversations. I'm interested in Lamo's role, but I'd like to hear from you what you feel is missing from any written account. What's going on in the courtroom that you feel is under the radar, and that there's so much secrecy surrounding it, but that people should really know and be paying attention to.
Well, in the basic sense, I would just say that there is a lot being reported about Osama bin Laden and he getting documents and the terrorists having documents, dumping info on the internet, and how that was widely available to enemies. And I think that anybody who is following this coverage needs to understand these are all prosecution allegations, that none of this has been proven as fact yet. And these claims should be regarded as outrageous until they can be substantiated by prosecutors to actually prove that, in fact, Manning's disclosures to WikiLeaks did help enemies somehow. And that help needs to be specific in the sense that somehow if WikiLeaks had not been involved and if this information had not been published, there's no way that Al-Qaeda would have been able to launch some kind of an attack on soldiers or blow up a bomb or something. It has to be specific, that they gain something incredibly useful from this information. And so far, we have not seen any of that proof. And I think people just need to focus on the fact that there is some guilt by association going on, in the sense that they're just throwing out these allegations in the courtroom and they're not proven yet.
You know, there's so much more to talk about. I don't even know where to begin. In fact, at this point, end this conversation. I'd like to know more. You write, too, that take note of the fact that as prosecutors are making statements in the military court about the U.S., the importance of protecting national defense information, that the U.S. government posts Israel's national defense information constantly in announcing jobs. So the double standard here, it's in a legal proceeding where it seems the prosecutors still are managing this with the presumption that they are going to win. Can you just before we let you go, I'm so sorry, we are almost out of time, is what's at stake today? What are the issues that you expect to come out in the next, I guess, couple of days this week?
Well, let me just wrap up with a big idea, because this is our last day of this week. We're going to continue to roll through witness testimony and next week and Monday. And just let me say, today we're hearing about Panetta leaking the name of the head of a unit, commander of the unit that did the Osama bin Laden raid. You're talking about how there's an objection from Israel about defense data, their missile base being published online. The government doesn't seem to have any problem when it is suiting their purposes of disclosing classified information and letting it go all over the place. In the case of Bradley Manning, when his conscience told him that certain sets of documents needed to be made available to people all around the world because he was reading it and was bothered by what he was seeing, that's something that deserves this kind of prosecution, where you're going after him as if he aided some enemy, as if he helped terrorists. And I think people really need to chew on that and discuss that with other fellow citizens and think about what it really means that the government is going after Manning so hard.
And it's exactly what Bradley Manning did intend for people to do. Thank you so much for that. I'm very, very fortunate to have Kevin Costola take the time to spend with